Christian greetings, everyone, to this week's Truth Provided broadcast. This is Nicholas from Presence of God Ministry. The website is www.remnantofgod.org. Thank you for tuning in again today. I hope what I'm about to share with you and your loved ones is a blessing to all of you. In this week's broadcast, I'd like to cover a prophesied event that has actually come to fulfillment right before the eyes of many. Thing is, most are completely unaware. With all that's happened in the last month, with the Pope dying and the new one getting elected, I don't know whether to comment on John Paul II or in his obvious evils, or Joseph Ratzinger in his. So what I decided to do here is try to do both. In my next newsletter, I'm going to have, this is going to be more or less based on my next newsletter, this broadcast. And at the top of the newsletter, I found this picture on the internet where it shows Pope Benedict the 16th in a what appears to be a crowd of sheep. And he holds a cane in his hand that has 10 heads. Now, looking at that picture of Ratzinger holding a 10-headed cane so as to depict him as the leader of 10 kingdoms, along with those that won't join him, cowering in fear. And what I mean by that is, off to the side, they show this small little lamb by itself, where it says moderates on its side, and he's got a scared look on his face, and it says gulp in a little cartoon, you know, bubble above his head. This is prophetically sound, this picture, if you will, this cartoon, this character of him. Do you recall this quote that I'm about to share that I shared on the air in a previous broadcast as well as a previous newsletter? The headline reads, "Adaptive Model of the Global World System." And it goes on to say, it's just a small little excerpt from the article. It says, "A Club of Rome had its beginnings in April of 1968 when leaders from 10 different countries gathered in Rome. The organization claims to have the solutions for world peace and prosperity. The Club of Rome has been charged with the task of overseeing the regionalization and a unification of the entire world. The club's findings and recommendations are published from time to time in special, highly confidential reports, which are sent to the power elite to be implemented. On September 17th of 1973, the club released one such report entitled Regionalized and Adaptive Model of the Global World System. The document reveals that the club has divided the world into 10 political economic regions, which it referred to as kingdoms. My friends, prophecy did in fact say in Revelation 17:12, "And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as of yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast." And as we already know, the beast is Roman Catholicism with the church and state conglomerate. They're running the show here. The 10 kingdoms of the one world government that they're planning on, or regionalizations, if you will, but it's still kingdoms nonetheless, based on Roman architecture, if you will, you know, governmental architecture, like, you know, you would have a governor here or a governor there, like Herod or Caesar or whatever. You got kingdom number one is, of course, Canada and United States of America. Kingdom number two is European Union, Western Europe. Kingdom number three is Japan. Kingdom number four would be Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, Israel, and the Pacific Islands. Kingdom number five will be Eastern Europe. Kingdom number six is Latin America, Mexico, Central and South America. Kingdom number seven is North Africa and the Middle East, which is just specifically Muslims. Kingdom number eight will be Central Africa. Kingdom number nine will be South and Southeast Asia. And Central Asia has its own little kingdom, kingdom number 10. Prophecy is being fulfilled on much more blunt tones now that it's getting so close to the Lord's arrival. Soon the disasters are going to pick up, and the powers that be will start to seek ways to get right with God so as to curb the problems that are happening because of these disasters. It was a mere 4 months back that it was proclaimed worldwide, mind you, that the Christmas tsunami, you know, the one that killed over 150,000, and 150,000 are missing, so in essence it killed 300,000 people. They stated that this in the global media, not just in your local newspapers, this went worldwide, this statement. It was stated in the article that the tsunami was the result of people breaking the Sunday Sabbath. Sunday has been proven time and time again to be a Roman Sabbath, a Sabbath not sanctioned by God. In fact, it is so easy to prove this, it's amazing how many refuse to see it. You can actually offer them $10,000 cash, which I do, by the way, on my website, to use their Bible to show where God changed a Sabbath from the seventh day of the week to the first day of the week for the Christians. Now, when they do a study on this and realize there's not a single solitary verse from Genesis to Revelation to sanction this change, amazingly, they go back to Sunday keeping. Anyway, they don't care. All this does is solidify Rome and its global agenda. And with the so-called Protestant ministers pushing for that end by using grassroots politics, we see Sunday laws are a lot closer than they have ever been before. Take, for example, what Pat Robertson's doing with the Christian Coalition that has been, I mean, they've been literally doing absolutely everything they can to create the image of the beast right here in America. I did a newsletter all about that, as a matter of fact. I even think I did a broadcast on the air about that. Small little excerpt I got out of a headline from the Agape Press on April 18th, 2005 says that the Christian Coalition has launched a new campaign to get America back on a moral path. Michelle Combs, who, by the way, is the Christian Coalition's new leader because Pat Robertson stepped down and let her take over, but he still has a voice in this because he's alive. She's the new communications director, says that the Let's Take America Back campaign has a very simple goal. We want to take America back to the moral values, back to the intentions of the founding fathers, and back to the biblical principles that this country was founded on. She states, Combs says, the Christian Coalition will be holding meetings all across the nation to help accomplish this goal. You know, Pat Robertson's image of the beast is about to be pushed forward now more than ever. He preaches good ideals, but he goes directly against Christ's command to keep church and state separate. And at the same time, he is doing exactly as prophecy said would happen. Pat Robertson, an ex-presidential candidate, by the way, has an unhealthy zeal to do in the United States of America what the Vatican has done in Rome. The Vatican, of course, is a church and state. It's a church and a literal political state. And soon, the United States government will be the same. But before they're able to do this, all the world must wander after the beast so that a move such as this will be an easy task. If everyone rightly looks upon Rome as evil and filled with decadence, no nation in their right mind will be able to convince the voters to back such a thing as this. So what was once proclaimed from the rooftops as the most evil organization known to man must now be preached as the most blessed organization known to man. You know something? If you just look back to 1776, you're going to see something rather strange happening here. Satan knows what he's doing, people. He, well, for lack of a better term, allowed this Christian nation to start, knowing full well he would be able to control and twist all the politicians to become graphically evil. One can see a Roman Catholic agenda in all of this. If not, I suggest taking a walk down any state capital, you know, road, and take a look at all the Roman architecture or in the government buildings. 100% of every single solitary state in the Union, or county for that matter, and federal building, has intense Roman Catholic influence upon them. Could it be that this was planned so long ago? Well, those of us that understand prophecy know, well, yes. You know, just giving you an idea, if we just throw prophecy into the mix here, which is inevitable, you have a country, a Christian country, that will arise. And then the enemy needs to stealthily mix Catholicism deep within this governing structure of this new Christian country. And then he needs to corrupt all governing officials with Catholic ideals. Then he stealthily mixes Catholicism into Protestantism. And then he causes evil to spread much more openly from government, you know, that in turn upsets the people. And, of course, this is all going over the course of decades, all right? This isn't all going to happen in one weekend. Then, now since the people are upset, Romanized Protestants will then want to take the government back, so they start a grassroots campaign. And then the Romanized Protestants insist on a Catholic form of government. At the same time, increases in disasters cause economic hardships. So the politicians and the Romanized Protestants unite to figure a way out of this mess. And then it's suggested a moral form of government is agreed upon as good for the people, whether they like it or not. And then you get the church and state conglomeration, or the image of the beast is then created, because the beast in Rome is a church and state. And then, of course, the mark of the beast is enforced, and their reasoning would be to, you know, get right with God. You know, it's no mistake, you see a lot of pro-Catholic propaganda everywhere these last few years. You know, from the media buzzing about John Paul II to Roman Catholic commercials called the Passion of the Antichrist. Well, Passion of the Christ, they call it. But it's actually the Antichrist. You know, all they are doing is running a global campaign with the end result being a Roman Catholic globally accepted moral authority for even the nations. They already have the churches in agreement since June 26th of 2000 when the One World Church was formed, with the Pope as leader, of course. And now they have a Pope that was not only an admitted Nazi soldier, he was elected by the previous Pope to run the office of Inquisition so as to enforce the teachings of the Church. This public relations ploy of John Paul II was perfectly planned so as to herald in a man like Ratzinger. What I see now is a win-win situation for the Vatican. Even if Ratzinger does evil, and he will, of course, the people will still embrace Rome because of their beloved pontiff, John Paul II. They will ignore Ratzinger's antics to a certain degree. I mean, they're already calling him anti-pope because he doesn't believe in some of the doctrines of Catholicism. And they'll even, you know, because they're already speaking out against him. But they won't leave the church because they believe John Paul II was a holy man and therefore confirming the Vatican a place of God. So they'll ride out the storm. I mean, come on, the guy's 78. How long do you have to ride, they figure? As we all know, the prophecy states that all the world will wonder after the beast in Rome. This, of course, happens after the beast's wound is administered and then on the mend. Prophecy places this in chronological order, by the way. In Revelation 13:3, it says, "And I saw one of his heads, as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast." The three obvious events in this prophecy are as follows. Number one, the beast will be wounded. Number two, the wound will begin healing and eventually heal. And number three, all the world will wonder after it. Has this happened? And has this happened in this prophesied order? Let's look at number one. The beast will be wounded. As we know, the mortal wound was administered in 1798. It says in Encyclopedia Britannica 1941 edition that in 1798, General Berthier made his entrance into Rome, abolished the papal government, and established a secular one. All right? The fact Napoleon sent General Berthier into Rome to remove the Pope from his position of power was open evidence that people knew of the evils of Rome and therefore rebelled. Plus, history records the United States was actually formed by people fleeing papal persecutions. So all those doctored history books today that say the reason people came to this country is because of the taxation in England, you know, for those of us that are a little bit older, that have seen the history books when we were younger and have actually investigated some of this stuff online, we know they've doctored the history books. I mean, come on, people were burned at the stake, boiled in oil, buried alive, cut in half, killed in a bevy of all these different ways. I mean, the Pope even admitted this on March 12, 2000, that the Catholic Church killed over 500 million people. So it's common knowledge that Rome was evil and everyone feared it because of its atrocities. In fact, out of brief Bible readings of the home, page 16, it says that for teaching faith contrary to the teaching of the Church of Rome, history records the martyrdom of more than 100 million people. By the way, modern research has found that number to be more than about 500 million. This next quote comes from the New Catholic Encyclopedia under the article Inquisition. It says, "Under the influence of Germanic customs and concepts, torture was little used from the 9th to the 12th centuries, but with the revival of the Roman law, the practice was reestablished in the 12th century. In 1252, Pope Innocent IV sanctioned the infliction of torture by the civil authorities upon heretics, and torture came to have a recognized place in the procedure of the inquisitional courts. Alright? The beast was well known, as 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 predicted. I mean, you had to be literally blind and living on a different planet not to see what this church was doing. So the prophecy that says the son of perdition will be revealed in the last days, that's been fulfilled. I mean, the people know this. The beast was also mortally wounded, exactly as prophecy predicted. Prophecy stated that the beast would rule for 1,260 years and then be mortally wounded. For example, Daniel chapter 7, verse 25 says, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and he shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and then they shall be given into his hand until a time, and the dividing of time. That's a year, 2 years, and a half a year. Okay, that's 3.5 years. Revelation 12:6 says, and the woman fled into the wilderness. Woman in prophecy, Jeremiah 6:2, is a church, so she's fleeing into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God, that she should feed, that they should feed her, 1,260 days. Okay, we'll get back to that in a minute. And in Revelation 13:5 says, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, talking about the Vatican, of course, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Now, Revelation 13:5 speaks of the time as 42 months. These 42 months of Revelation 13 and the time and times and dividing of a time of Daniel 7:25 equal the exact same thing. 42 months actually equates to 3.5 years. Looking closely, one can see that a time is 1 year, like I said a minute ago. Times is 2 years, and the dividing of time is a half a year. And Revelation 12:6 confirms this calculation when it says that the church of Jesus would hide in the wilderness for exactly 1,260 days. Now, 42 months or 3.5 years equals 1,260 days. A day in prophecy actually equals a year. God says in Ezekiel chapter 4, verse 6, I have appointed each day for a year. And in Numbers 14:34, it says, after the number of the days in which ye have searched the land, even 40 days, each day for a year. So according to Ezekiel 4:6 and Numbers 14:34, that 1,260 years that papal Rome would reign during this, you know, and during this reign it will kill many Christians, as we saw the Pope admit to. All right? Now, still, some are going to say that this is just my opinion or my interpretation, and because of the sake of time, I don't have a lot of time to actually dig down deep into this and explain why I'm getting the day and how come it's a times and times and half a time and all this stuff. If you want all this information, just go to the Characteristics of Antichrist page in the Warning section or the Prophecy section of the website, and I go into a lot more detail in deciphering each and every prophetic symbol here. I don't give you my opinion. I don't give you my interpretation because 2 Peter 1:20 says we can't do that. We can't give private interpretation. We have to let the Bible define the symbols. So if you want to go a little bit deeper, just check out those pages on the site at remnantofgod.org. But anyway, they're going to say, the people that, you know, they're going to say that this day for a year issue is a joke or it's bogus or it's not valid unless history proves it out. So, does it? Does history prove it out? Well, first we need to find out when the Roman Catholic Church became that woman on the beast. When it had an absolute power. I mean, you got power with political realm, you got power with the, you know, with the religious realm, but when you mix them two together, you got absolute power. I mean, you got everything handled. So, when did this happen? Well, Vigilius ascended the papal chair in the year 538 AD under the military protection of Belisarius, according to the History of the Christian Church, Volume 3, page 327. Historical records reveal the papacy began its global reign in 538 AD under Emperor Justinian's decree and under the military protection of Belisarius. The Bible says the beast will rule exactly 1,260 years before receiving that mortal wound. Now, it's just a matter of simple mathematics. It's also a grand method by which to see the Lord glorified. If the prophecy is correct, 1,260 years after 538 AD, the beast must receive a mortal wound. Did this happen? Can the prophecy be that accurate to hit the exact year? Well, if you add 1,260 to 538, you're going to come to the year 1798 AD. So according to the prophecy, and if this day for a year issue holds up, and if it's not just all a bunch of falderall, like it's not my own private interpretation, it's biblical, because we know prophecy in the Bible is 100% accurate, did something happen in 1798? Well, according to the Encyclopedia Britannica, 1941 edition, it says in 1798, General Berthier made his entrance into Rome, abolished the papal government, and established a secular one. That's exactly 42 prophetic months, or 1,260 years, or a time and times and dividing of a time, after the papacy began its powerful reign, that the Pope shall receive that mortal wound and shall go into captivity. This not only confirms the day for a year issue, it glorifies the Lord like no other prophecy can. Is that accurate? When Napoleon sent in General Berthier to remove the Pope from power, the mortal wound was in fact administered that very day. In fact, the following November, the Pope died in exile. Now, this is one of the reasons, when I was raised as a Catholic, that we were taught Napoleon was the Antichrist, because Napoleon came in and removed the Pope from power. This is something that is graphically recorded in all your history books. Well, not anymore, probably, but the fact of the matter was, it was taught when I was a young Catholic that Napoleon was evil because of this. So, now, let's get to the second part of the prophetic event. We did number one. What's number two? The wound will be healed. Well, Revelation 13:3 says, "And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast." As we just saw, the deadly wound was given to the papacy by Napoleon in 1798. The Vatican still continued as a church, however. She was stripped completely of her civil and political power. It was just a church now. That's the mortal wound. Then suddenly, in 1929, we see the Italian government recognizing the Vatican once again as an independent state. This political move once again made the Pope a religio-political power. Just as prophecy said, the mortal wound that was administered in 1798 by Napoleon was supposed to be healed. Notice how the newspapers of that day actually used prophetic language to announce this event. Headline, Mussolini and Cardinal Gasparri sign historic Roman pact. This is from the San Francisco Chronicle, February 11th, 1929. It says, the Roman question tonight was a thing of the past, and the Vatican was at peace with Italy in affixing the autographs to the memorable document, healing the wound of many years. Extreme cordiality was displayed on both sides. From the New York Times, July 7th, 1929, the headline reads, Pope becomes a ruler of a state again. This is Rome reporting June 7th. From 11 o'clock this morning, it says, there was another sovereign independent state in the world. At that time, Premier Mussolini, as the Italian foreign minister representing King Victor Emmanuel, the first Italian premier ever to cross the threshold of the Vatican, established with Cardinal Gasparri, papal secretary of state, representing Pope Pius XI, ratifications of the treaty signed at the Lateran Palace on February 11th. By that simple act, the sovereign independent state of the Vatican City came into existence. The fulfillment of this prophecy confirms yet another one in Revelation 17:8, where it says, behold the beast that was, is not, and yet is. This is my favorite prophecy, but you got to understand the previous ones to get it. The beast that was is the Roman Catholic Church, which began in 538 and continued until Napoleon sent in General Berthier in 1798. The beast that is not was from 1798 until the signing of the Lateran Treaty in 1929 by the Roman Catholic Church and the state conglomerate was non-existent until that date. And the beast that yet is, from 1929 to present day, the Roman Catholic Church has been a church and state. You know, it's back in power. The prophecy is so blunt. And to point, it's amazing to me how graphically accurate this is. However, you're not going to understand this unless studying these facts, the person studying them has already investigated the three previous prophecies that define each of these, each of the beast's existence throughout history. This prophecy can in no way be understood without that knowledge. Okay? Please stay tuned, because I am going to get into the details of the prophecy that is happening right now before people's eyes. They don't even catch it. So, please stay tuned to the Truth Provided broadcast. I'll be back in just a few minutes.